For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 1st, 2002, Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Well, today we said we were going to finish up renewal, and that I want to talk about a binding and loosening, because that's such an important concept. Then I wanted to look at something else too that God gave me to look at for you. We said that you are or will be renewed. It says in Colossians 3:10, that you are renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him who created you. It means that as you study the Scriptures about the character of God and pray on those Scriptures and meditate on them and ask the Holy Spirit to transform you into His image, then you will become renewed. Paul said, imitate me. And he said, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And you imitate Jesus by having the character of Jesus flow out of you. And the character of Jesus is the character of God. And we read all of those, and merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and or slow to anger, abundant in goodness, or gracious kindness, truth, forgiveness, or ready to pardon, righteousness, and then love, which is affection, great understanding, which means abundant intelligence, and we talked about goodness. And then in the Greek, you've got goodness and forgiveness and love and truth. And the words used in the Greek and the words used in the Hebrew are the same meaning. So I won't belittle going through the Greek words for you, except for love. I want you to open your Bibles to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 4. It says, charity, and that's an old English way of saying love, unconditional love, the love of God, suffereth long suffering. Okay, now we've heard that word before. You know, we said long suffering is slow to get angry and passion, to breathe fast, to have your nose snort. Okay. Is kind. Well, kindness. That's goodness. Abounding in goodness or gracious kindness. Charity envieth not. Vaunteth itself, is not puffed up. What's that? Proud. It says it's not that. It's meek. Jesus says in Matthew, let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Back in the wrong end of the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Starting with verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in spirit. Or meek in spirit, not envious, not bonded himself up, not puffed up. Jesus said he's lowly, meek in spirit. and you will find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay. And so you say, Lord, make me that way. Write that first down. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Pray that verse. Oh, Lord, help me. I am heavy laden, Lord. I labor. Give me your rest, Lord. Let me take your yoke, Lord God. Give me that yoke, Lord, that meekness, lowly in spirit, willing to take the low place, not to be exalted, not to be glorified in myself on how much revelation God has given me, that I can run around and tell everybody all the revelation I have and how God has revealed himself to me and all the great visions I've had and all of them. But God, give me that ability to take the low place, Lord. Touch me. Now, you know, that's a dangerous prayer if you're proud. But I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll bring you close to God. That's the reason you fast, is to humble yourself, to afflict your soul. Your stomach is going to go hungry. I mean, you all ever really been hungry? I mean, really been hungry. Hadn't anything to eat for 3 days. And you're hungry. And you ain't got anything to eat. You don't know where you're going to get any. And your stomach rumbles. A lot of the world goes to sleep like that every night. This country, we got lots of food. Throw away more food than most countries have to eat. Put your soul and say, so you ain't going to eat. Stomach, you ain't going to eat. You line up with the Word of God. And wash your face and anoint your face with oil and go do your work. And God will reward you openly. Fast in private, he'll openly reward you. That's what he says. If you do like the Pharisees did and sit out on the sidewalk and spread out some burlap there on the sidewalk and sit down and pour ashes on your head and sit there on the busy day when everybody comes to town, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays were the days of everybody came to town to in Jerusalem do the business. That's the days the Pharisees sit out on the street to fast. Oh, look at that religious man. He got his reward. People called him a religious man. I don't ever want anybody to call me religious. Say, no, I'm not religious. Oh, God, don't tell me I'm religious. I know Jesus. He's my friend. He's my boss. And my Savior. I know him. My big brother. But God, deliver me from religion. Praise God. Okay. And so, not puffed up. Verse 5. Does not behave itself unseemly. That means attract attention to yourself. Like dressing in a provocative way. Be in the fashion plate. I get disturbed sometimes with how Christian women will expose their body. Because they know men's sexual desires are hooked up to their eyeballs. And so they strut like peacocks. Now, men strut like peacocks, too. They dress all up, boy, and strut down the street. Love does not behave that way. Seeketh not his own. Paul said, look after the needs of others. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Means you don't entertain evil thoughts. And you give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, something happens, most folks are just willing to condemn you right off. And you tell them what happened, they say, yeah, I bet. That's not love. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Rejoices not in rebellion, but rejoices in the truth. Promises of God, the stability. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. And so I had a friend who was a very wise man. Every morning when he got up, his name was John, and he would read this. And he said, oh, dear Lord, I love you. Lord, help me, Lord God. John suffereth long and is kind. Lord, help me to be suffer long, be long-suffering, and to be kind. John envieth not, and is not vaulted up, not puffed up. Lord, help me. Help me not to envy other people and covet other people's things, Lord, and to be proud and vain at the blessings that you bestowed upon me. Help me have your spirit, a meek and mild spirit that's pleasing to your sight, Lord. John does not indeed behave unseemly, seeketh not his own. Interesting, it says her own, ma'am. His own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Help me to think no evil, Lord God, to always give the second doubt, always to give the second chance, not to be provoked, Lord, not to be provoked. Rejoices not in rebellion and iniquity, Lord. Help me not rejoice in being rebellious, Lord. Rejoice in telling other people off. Rejoice in getting my own way, Lord. Making other people bend to my will. But help me rejoice in the truth of your word. Lord, help me bear all things. John bears all things, believes all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Lord, help me never to fail my family, my friends. Help me to bear their burdens, Lord God, and really care. Help me, Lord, to have faith in them, Lord God, that they will do what's right. And hope for good things for them, and to endure with them and never fail. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Try praying it every day. Try ask God to make that work through your life so that the character of God will be renewed and manifested in you. For that is the character of God, for it says in 1 John, God is love. That's love. Unconditional love. Something you can't do without Him. To be a vessel poured out. Paul said he was a drink offering poured out. To be a vessel poured out for a lost and dying world around you. The one God has sent you to. The one He died for. That you might be renewed in His image. That you might go forth in His image. For I say to you, the more that is reflected in your life, the more authority you will have in His name. That's right. The more authority you'll have in His name. But you won't ever be proud and lifted up. You'll always be willing to take second place. And He will lift you up. For he who humbles himself will be exalted before God. And that's where you want to be exalted, people. For in that last day when we stand before the great white throne, some folks seem to think that when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be like a sports award banquet at the high school where everybody gets a prize. Y'all believe it's going to be that way? Huh? That, I mean, you know, it's going to be like at the grammar school there when you have the sports award banquet in and everybody gets a trophy? Well, they try it or not, you know, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Besides, their parents are there, you know, and you really don't want them down on you. They might fire you. I'm telling you, you can't fire Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so, I say to you, if you want to be renewed before God, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed by having the character of Jesus come through you and metamorphosize you. And you do this by meditating on the Scriptures and praying and ask God to bring it to pass in your life on your knees every day. Little by little, you'll be renewed. Although the outer man may be perishing, the inner man will be renewed until you come to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Praise God. Now, I want to talk to you about what happens when you leave him. You know, Pharaoh was plagued, had plagues come upon him. Pharaoh had plagues come upon him. And there were times that he called out to the Lord. And Moses prayed, and he was delivered. But then he hardened his heart. And more plagues came. And after a few more plagues, he would call out again. Yeah. Moses went to Pharaoh, and first he cast a serpent out there. The rod out became a snake, and the Egyptians did the same thing. And then he went down to the river, and he touched it with the staff of God, which had been his snake-killing stick that he'd thrown down, and picked up again, became the rod of God. That's all he had when he was in the desert. You know, he'd been heir apparent to the throne of Pharaoh, educated in all the Egyptian universities. Brilliant in speech, Stephen says. But yet, he met him who is invisible. And he feared not to say to Pharaoh, I'm not your son. I'm not the son of your sister. And so he got exiled out into the back part of the desert, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, married his sister, married his boss's daughter. The only thing he owned was this stick he had that he killed snakes with. And when he met God, what did God tell him to do? He said, throw the stick down. That's all I own, Lord, is my snake-killing stick. So we'll throw it down and leave it there for me. Threw it down, it became a poisonous snake. How you know it's poisonous? For Moses ran from it. And God told him, go back and pick it up now. He can pick it up by the tail. The tail, that's the business end, it's the head. Pick it by the tail, became a stick again. What are you on? God telling you to throw down. And then he'll let you pick it up again. Once you throw it down before him, you give it to him. It's a good job. Something you depend on. Well, anyway, that stick, he carried that stick with him then, and it became the rod of God. It was the one he struck the river with. It was the one he struck the rock and the flow white. It was the rod he held up for victory. It was the rod of God. Now that's, I can talk another hour on that, but I just say, God may call you to throw something down that's very valuable to you. He might let you pick it up again. Used for him. Let's go on. He touched it with the rod of God. It became blood. The magicians did that too. So then he called frogs up out of the river. Magicians did that too, but apparently they couldn't make them go away because Moses called. He called on Moses and said, God, take these frogs away. And I'll let you go worship. Frogs all died and stank through the land. Changed his mind. Didn't follow through. Once he got, wasn't hurting anymore, wasn't being picked on anymore, suddenly he just went on and did his own thing. Didn't follow God, didn't keep his vow. And so, Moses took the dust and became lice. The magicians couldn't do it. Then he called the flies up. But there ain't going to be no flies in Goshen where my people are, just on the Egyptians. Flies came. So, Pharaoh called out again. Oh, gosh, these flies are driving us crazy. And so he got deliverance. Got to feeling good again. Went on and did his own thing again, you know. Had a hard heart, you know. He just did what he wanted to. And the flies wasn't bothering him anymore. So pestilence came on, killed all the livestock. Then Moses took some ashes and threw it up in the air, and it became boils over all the Egyptians. And then the magicians couldn't even stand up because they had boils on their feet. And then he called hail down and fire. And Pharaoh said, oh, God, give us some help here. Man, we're losing out. So he went out. Moses went out and called off the hail. Pharaoh looked around and said, well, it didn't happen in Goshen. I can get food out of Goshen. He went on and did his own thing. Then the locusts came. And then the darkness came, and then the firstborn died. And the Egyptians said, oh, man, you can. And they asked the Egyptians for gold and silver and fine clothing, and the Egyptians gave them everything just to get rid of them. And they left. But then Pharaoh decided, you know, you can't give up too much. It's too costly. Deliverance costs too much. Go bring them back. And the army died. Destroyed Pharaoh. And I say to you, what is the parable between this and me? You got deliverance. You feel better. You don't have pain in your back. You don't have shooting pains in your legs. Your headache's gone. Thoughts in your mind are clearer. You feel better. See better. Just walk on now. Mm-hmm. Get home, you forget about it. You're going to promise God you're going to read the Bible every day. Well, you get busy. Important things to do. Like this young boy told me, I was praying for him, and I said, talk to him. I said, you've got to have regular Bible study. He said, man, I'm in college. I'm writing term papers, and I'm doing that. I ain't got time for that kind of foolishness. I said, what? Well, yeah. Well, fine. Bible should pray some more. I said, son, I'm going to waste my time. I said, there are people around here who are willing to want to stay free. I said, you're not going to stay free. You're just going out and get, he said, I don't know what you want. You just want to feel better. And I ain't got time for people who just want to feel better. I got a lot of folks that need help. He got mad and left. Because I say to you, if you're going to be like Pharaoh, every time you get a little relief, you just run on off and do your own thing. And then when it really gets bad and you get relief and you decide the cost is too high and you go try to pull it back and then you get drowned in the water. The devil will come back, great force. So when you leave him, you need a regular time of fasting and prayer. You need a regular time of Bible study. Need a regular time to put these principles we've talked to about to work in your lives every day. And it's got to be the most important thing in your life is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to stay free. That's the parable of Pharaoh. Okay?
Well put.
Not to get attached to important things. Going to your 40s and seeing your friends. I want to talk to you about, let's look at Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, Jesus has just asked the disciples who he is. Let's see. It says, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. Now, the word Peter, Petros, means small pebble. And that word rock there means a big crag on the side of the mountain. And what he's talking about there, that he would build his church on the revelation that he is the Son of God, the Messiah. And the courts of the devil will not stand against it. Now remember this, that the gates were where the elders met, that where judgment was passed. Turn to Daniel. Keep your finger there in Matthew and go back to Daniel 2. Daniel comes right after Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, Daniel comes after Ezekiel, I'm sorry. Right after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 49, the last verse. The last sentence, but it says, First, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and that last word that I always mispronounce, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. That's the king's court, where the judgments are made. The same gate him. That's the Hebrew word for the courts. I said, the gates of Hades, the devil's gates, shall not prevail against it. The court of the devils shall not prevail against the church. And then he says to Peter, and this is, if you have an old King James, you'll see this is written in the second person singular. But I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be of loosed in heaven. Now, that word bind there, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is the kingdom of heaven?
Right.
Romans 15 says the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, there are two kingdoms. There's a Jesus said in Luke, the kingdom of heaven is within you or among you. It's in you. Okay, that's one kingdom. Then there's a coming kingdom where Jesus Christ will return and sit on the throne and judge and rule for 1,000 years. So there are two kingdoms. We're talking about this present kingdom now. He said, I'm going to give you the keys to that kingdom. And the keys to that kingdom are binding and loosening. The keys to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Binding and loosening. Now, if Jesus Christ is your righteousness, and peace and joy are what? Are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Fruits of the Holy Spirit. And for you to have righteousness, peace, and joy, you bind and loose for it. What do you bind? Well, let's look, keep your finger in 16 now, and let's go to Matthew 12. 12:28. Here, Jesus has been casting out demons. And the Pharisees say to him, he's cast them out by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And he says, verse 26, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided, or else how does his kingdom stand? Well, that means Satan's got a kingdom, doesn't it? Huh? It says right there, Satan's got a kingdom. But if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Now, these are the sons of Sceva, sons of the high priest who run around casting out demons. Y'all remember in Acts, it talked about the sons of Sceva, the seven sons of Sceva, one Jewish high priest who was going around casting out demons by Paul, by Jesus, whom Paul preaches? It was in Ephesus, chapter 18 of Acts. Go look it up. I think it's 18. But if I cast out kingdoms by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God, or heaven, has come upon you. And so he says, if you cast out demons, the kingdom of God's come upon you. Well, how else can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first blinds the strong man, then he can plunder his good? Okay. Now, let's look on over here, verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. Your body, the body that he's been cast out of, the house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes out and takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last day of the man is worse than the first, and so it will be with this wicked generation. Okay, so we find there is a companion verse to that in Luke. Okay, there's a companion verse to that in Luke. So we find that and Jesus is saying that if you cast out demons, the kingdom of God has come upon you, righteousness and peace and joy. Well, the word bind, but first you got to bind the strong man. What is a strong man? Now, Jesus says, John says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And the Greek word there is strong man. Greater is strong man. So you have a greater strong man in you than the demon. It's called the Holy Spirit. A strong man is a ruler spirit. The strongest of them is the Holy Spirit. And he says, you have to bind the strong man. For whatever you bind on this earth is loosed in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now this is given to an individual, Peter, and by him this is given to you as an individual to bind and loose in your household. What are you binding and loose in? In the area of authority that he has committed to you. If you're head of the household, your household. If you have a business, your business, and over your employees. If you have a church, the sheep committed to your care. Okay? Well, what does bind mean? Bind means to tie up with chains. What does loose mean? Loose means to untie them or to destroy. Remember I told you all this morning that which says the for this purpose the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. It says that in 1 John. That word destroy is loose. Same Greek word as we translate loose him. Destroy or loose. Okay. I was asleep one morning. And when I woke up, I felt a weight on my chest. And when I opened my eyes, it was this big cobra snake sitting on my chest, sitting right there looking at me. And he was just going back and forth. And he was all hooded out, and little beady eyes, and little tongue was coming out. And he was just sort of swaying back and forth, and I could feel the weight on my chest. And being God's man of faith and power, I pulled the cover up over my head. I mean, I was a little shocked to see that thing there. But it was as real as looking at that projector. And I could feel the weight of it. And I pulled the cover up over my head. And the sweetest little voice said to me, "You can bind it." So I very carefully pulled the cover down about this far, you know, to look at him again. He's still there. To bind you in the name of Jesus. And a hand came out with a shackle on it and put a shackle on that one and another one over here and another one over here and chains, and these chains tightened up and they hauled that booger right out through the door. I said, "Oh, look at that." And then this big black widow spider had a belly big as a wash tub with a big hourglass on the bottom of it. Started through the door of my bedroom. Now, when I was a little boy, I was frightened, terribly frightened by a spider. I was watching a yellow butterfly came down. I can remember just like it was yesterday, when I was 4 years old. And he lit on the side of the house. And this big black spider jumped out of a hole and grabbed him and wrapped him up. I remember I screamed and jumped back. And after that, if I saw a spider over there, I would walk a block around so I wouldn't have to get near that spider. Spiders absolutely terrified me until I got saved. And I'd kill spiders. Man, I wouldn't get near them. I sprayed DDT around my bed to keep the spiders off of me. Well, here came this big black widow spider through the door. I said, "I bind you in the name of Jesus." And here these same hands came out, hooked on all that spider's legs, and them chains tightened up, and away went the spider. And I said, "Now, Lord, what does all this mean? What's going on?" And I prayed about it all the way down to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, where I was going to that morning. And I got him, and I sought out Brother Coffee and Sister Coffee, and I said, you know, I had this thing this morning. I want you to tell me what you think of it. And so I told them, and they took it under advisement. And the next morning, we had coffee together after prayer meeting, and Jim said, you know, I have a revelation. He said, God has really blessed you because he's allowed you to look into the spirit world to see what happens when you bind a spirit. And then God gave me Psalm 149 immediately, and it says, with the high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, you shall bind their nobles with chains, fetters of iron. This is the privilege of all the saints. I said, oh, I see. I said, well, Lord, I went to prayer, and I said, Lord, why is it when the devil is harassing me with that harassment, and the devil was harassing me in a particular way, I bind him, he doesn't stop. And he gave me a vision. He showed me walking down the street, and there were these demons right here. And there was this long line of them just stepping in front, and I'd bind this one, and the devil and the angels would tie him up and haul him off. Another one would step up and just keep right on like nothing happened. And he made me understand then that if I kept on binding, by the time the devil loses 100 troops, you know, he does not have an infinite number of troops. He has a finite number. And you get you bind 100 of them. He loses 100 of his troops attacking you there. He'll say, you know, they ain't working too well. I'm not coming out too good in this battle. And so he will withdraw. And like he did with Jesus in the temptations, he will depart for a more opportune time. He will depart, come back a different way. And so when you're being harassed, keep on binding. If you have to say, I bind you 500 times, you say it, and you just keep right on walking forward in faith. Because the devil, he's going to quit after a while. He will persist just as long as he thinks you'll quit. That he can wear you down. Remember now, it says in Daniel, he wears down the saints. Wears down the saints. He can't wear you down. He's going to decide he's losing too many troops and he'll quit. And so you keep on binding. Now, what do you loose? Well, the devil, I talked to the men's prayer group in this morning, in Ecclesiastes 10:20, it talks about don't curse the king in your thoughts, because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to pray for the king. And God knows your thoughts. But then it says, don't curse the rich in your bedroom, for the bird of the air tell the matter, will hear your voice. And the bird in flight may tell the matter. Well, the bird in the air is that's not a bird with two wings, that is a demon. It literally means flying thing. And the bird in flight is a demon. And what happens, a bird and the demon sits there, you got a familiar spirit surrounding you, assigned to your family by the devil, and they will sit there and they will record everything that happens to you. And they send it by other demons up to the second heaven, where Satan has his headquarters, where he has a evil host in the heavenlies, an evil army, an angelic army. Now, he has the authorities of a Kamamutus, which means the powers of darkness of this world. That's a different order. That's the demons. In the Greek, it's Kamakotos or something like that. You can look it up in Strong's, I'd slaughter these words. But they are the authorities, and they are the ones that work under the prince. The prince, a principality is a prince in the area of his authority. And he has any number of kings under him, which in turn have any number of demons going down in rank and file as an army, a well-organized army. And they are always recording your sin. your legal grounds to harass you. They record your lust. They record your curses. They record your threats, your blasphemy, your greed, your envy, your jealousy, your adultery, your lying, your cheating, your stealing. You record all those things. Here's a pencil. I bought this at Sam's. But my office buys them at Sam's, too. And I'm very careful not to bring one home from the office because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the office, and that's stealing. It seemed like a little thing to you, but God convicted me that I should not take things from the office. I buy my own envelopes. I ran out. I need to get some more. I used a couple of envelopes the other day, and I went and told the business manager I owed him two envelopes. Don't take things that don't belong to you. I buy stamps. I could stick them in there and have my secretary run them through the stamping machine. What kind of example is that to your employees, huh? You steal, they steal too. Y'all don't believe in animals? And the devil, they're watching, and it's all going upstairs to be recorded. What happens when you loose, you destroy those records. When you confess that sin, say, Lord Jesus, I confess that is sin. I put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, and I loose myself from it. And I bind those evil spirits that have been harassing me over it in the name of Jesus, and I loose myself from it. You destroyed the legal record upstairs. You loosed yourself in heaven. Do you understand that? That is such an important principle that you must understand. It's the key to the kingdom of God. Now, let's look over in Matthew 18. We'll start at verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take two or more, that by the mouths of two or three witnesses every word will be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Then it says, surely. Now what did Paul say about the man who had the incestuous relationship with his mother-in-law or with his mother? And the stepmother, father's wife, not his mother, his father's wife. He said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He said, let this man be like a heathen to you. Okay. For assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And there, if you have a King James, you will see it is you, the plural second person, meaning more than one person. Be ye. Now, in Old English, there is a singular second person and a plural second person. There is not in modern English, but there is in the Greek. And when you go through and read that, there are several places where that becomes important. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever ye bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. And whatever ye loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. You, he. Again I say, that if any two of you agree, now that word agree there comes from the Greek symphonize, from which we get the word, modern word symphony. It is a coming into harmony in the spirit. When you can have two people who can come into harmony in the Spirit of God, and you can speak it out in the Spirit of God, it'll come to pass. It's not a mental agreement. Call up Brother John. Yeah, I got this check in for $100. Will you agree with me it's $200? Or somebody on the TV show, I got this check in. Would you agree? Oh, I got $200. You can call it faith you want to. I call it fraud. But that is not the kind of agreement we're talking about. We're talking about coming into harmony in a spiritual sense in a prayer group, for where two or three are gathered together in my name,
I am there in the midst. Now, Dr. Perry Prince says he prefers to interpret that, translate that, when two or three are led together. He said it could be either interpreted either way, implying that there's a leader, namely the Holy Spirit, are led together in my name, I will be there in the midst of them. And so here we have binding and loosening committed to the church, taken in context, given in the plural. You will see this is given to the church. I went to a spiritual warfare conference in which they had some extremely prominent people on a panel. And there was 1,000 people there. And I was listening. And they were discussing. And the people on the panel got into a beating on the table, raising their voice discussion on whether a believer had the authority to bind the principality spoken of in Daniel chapter 10. And I was amazed that no one quoted this verse to this gentleman. But he was angry. And he was beaten, and these other people were beating the table back and raising their voice. I wanted to go up there so bad, but I knew the man who was moderating, and I said, the one thing he doesn't need is folks getting up out of the congregation coming up there to put in their 2 cents worth. So I skipped my seat. And finally, one of the members of the panel got up and left, walked away. That's terrible. But it says here, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth, or harmonize, concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, anything covers principalities in second heaven. Anything covers principalities in the second heaven. The church has the authority to bind those principalities over the church. They have the authority to start standing for the principalities over this country that they live in, over the principalities in the city that they're located in. Now, how much power and authority do these principalities have? What determines how strong a principality over a given entity is? Nobody has any idea? Let's look at, keep your finger in Matthew and let's look at, that's close. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Chapter 6. Verse 16. Now, don't you know whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You're that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. The more something is worshipped, the more authority it has. And there are demon gods over Arkansas that were worshipped for 10,000 years before Christianity came. Do you know that? There are demon gods over Palestine, over the Canaanite land, that were worshipped 10,000 years before Jesus came. And they still worship there today by a lot of people. And those are very strong, powerful gods. Anybody know what the god Moloch and Shamush are? Anybody know what the god Moloch is? What is it? Anybody know? God of child sacrifice. It was the god of the Ammonites. Shamush was the god of the Edomites, or vice versa. Both of them were child sacrifice gods. So they worship today. Very powerful in this country. Abortion. All over the world. It's being pushed with American money. Called Planned Parenthood. Financed through the UN. By the American money. These gods are being worshipped. The church has to stand against these gods and bind them and pull them down And the more you bind them and the more you pull them down, the weaker they will become. Till there is a time they will fall. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Only when believing Christians will stand and bind these evil gods that are trying to retake the land will the kingdom of God come. Jesus is not going to come back. Now, he knows the time. But we need to start binding and loosening for that kingdom to come. And for that kingdom to come in your life. And I'm going to tell you, everybody wants to be ready for the second coming. I'll tell you how you be ready for the second coming. You get the kingdom of God in your life today. And you'll be ready when he comes back. Well, nobody knows when the bridegroom's coming. He may come tomorrow. Don't be like the foolish virgins and not have any oil. Got to run out and buy some. The door might be closed when you get back. And that's a lot of folks don't like to hear that kind of talk. Eternal. That flies in the face of eternal security. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I hope I hadn't stepped on anybody's sacred cow. You know, you got sacred cows, we need to have barbecue. I lost some people out of my prayer group. They were fine people, good Baptist people, gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, and got up to the point I was talking about. I said, and I gave them a questionnaire talking about deception. How can Satan separate you from God? I'm speaking of deception. And boy, they got in my face, nobody can pluck you out of the hand of God. I said, that's right. The scripture sure says that. Does it say you can't get deceived and walk out? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. The scripture, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrine of demons. Fall away. Talking about Christians falling away. But they're not out of the hand of God. They're going to get deceived. And they're going to be drawn away. Now you decide what drawn away means. I'm not going to argue. They got mad at me and left the Bible study. And handed in their work, and I got a 3-page epistle on eternal security. I said, God bless them. I mean, God bless them and keep them. They were wonderful people. I loved them. But that sacred cow took them out of class on spiritual warfare. The devil deceived them. The devil deceived them and drew them out away from learning. Praise the Lord. I hope they've gone to a good Bible-believing church. That's all I can say. I hope they've gone back, that they're still getting fed someplace. And so you see, binding and loosening. Now, curses. We've all talked about curses. We've got about 15 minutes. I'll give you a 4-hour talk in 15 minutes. Curses. I had a really hard time with curses, people. I just had a real hard time understanding curses. I was raised in voodoo, and I shouldn't have had problems understanding it. But it did. I just didn't have the understanding to see how it works. You know, you can go through the motions of saying words, but it's a lot better if you understand what you're doing. See, people are destroyed for lack of understanding. Trampled, it says. And so I said, I look up curse, and curse is an evil spoken imposition, evil words that people say. And I was praying one night. I've been fasting for several days, and I was praying and studying, and I just wasn't getting the understanding I needed. And I had a vision. Now, within the flesh, out of the flesh, I don't know. But I walked through a series of visions, and then I stepped back into the bedroom. It was a strange feeling. I mean, I walked away from that thing, and I stepped, and I was out of the vision and back in the bedroom. I mean, it was like that. Stepped out. I just stepped through. Well, anyway, first vision I saw was a man who was intoxicated. And he was talking to a small boy, 5 or 6. And the boy had spilled his milk at the table. And he said, "You dumb." And he used a profane word. "You ain't got sense enough to pull water out of the boot with instructions on the heel." Only he didn't say water. He said, "You the dumbest kid. You ain't going to ever amount to a hill of beans. You just a dumb. You never will be anything. You'll just be just." And he went on and on and on and on. And I looked like a laser beam hit that kid. And I said, "What was that?" That was the demon, the devil. That was the curse. That was the demon the devil dispensed to fulfill the curse. I said, "Where in the Bible does it say that a father can curse his son like that?" And immediately, in my mind, Jacob said to Rebekah, "But mother, I am a smooth-skinned man, and my brother Esau is a hairy man. And if my father feels me, he will pursue me as a deceiver, and I shall receive a curse and not a blessing." Father has the authority in the Bible to curse his children. That scare you? It should. You get angry and say cruel things to your children or your grandchildren or your wife? We're all under your authority. And it's perfect. That is a legal right recorded up in the books to dispense an evil angel to bring it to pass. I said, And then the next I saw a pastor. And a man was talking to the pastor. And he said, "Pastor, I'm going to leave the church." He said, "God is moving me that I feel that I," he told me to come by and tell you, "that they needed me over to Second Assembly." Nothing wrong here. I love you. But God is laid on my heart that I should go over there. And this pastor looked horrified. He said, "You can't leave him. Your tithe belongs here in this church. While you go over there, you're going to go bankrupt. God will curse you because you'll be out of his will. You're going to go bankrupt if you leave this church." And this little beam hit this man. Bum! I said, "Now where in the Bible does it say a preacher can curse his flock?" Let me know numbers. The curse of the bitter water. Woman, husband's accused her of jealousy, comes into the priest, and the priest writes the curse on a piece of paper and reads it to the woman, and she said yes. She accepts it. He scrapes it into the water and takes the bitter water, and she drinks it. And if she's guilty, her belly will rot and her thigh will swell. Her thigh will swell and her belly will rot. The priest has the authority to curse his flock. And he made me understand that anyone that employs you has a right to curse an employee. I said, Then he showed me one in the Bible where Joshua said, "Anybody builds this city and will lay its foundations with his firstborn, and he will lay the gates with his lastborn," the youngest. And then in Kings, under Ahab, he was rebuilt. And the man that rebuilt it laid the foundation with his firstborn and hung the gates with his youngest, the life of his youngest, as fulfilled the curse said, the curse of the Lord said by Joshua. That's in 2 Kings. And then you can be cursed by someone you've wronged. In Judges, the youngest son of Jeroboam, Gideon, Abimelech killed all the sons of Jeroboam except one. The youngest one got away. And the men of Shechem and Milo went in cahoots with him to do this. And so he stood up on the mountain and he cursed him. He said, if you have been fair with Jeroboam, the descendants of Jeroboam, may you be blessed. But if not, let fire come out of Abimelech into fire and consume you, and may fire come out of Shechem and Bethlehem and consume Abimelech.
If you read that through Judges 6 or 8, you'll find that God sent an evil angel to bring forth the curse spoken by the youngest son of Jeroboam. It came to pass. Now, you remember who Abimelech was? He was the one whose the woman had the millstone. And she threw it down and hit him in the head, and he asked somebody, says, kill me. I don't want him to say a woman slayed Abimelech. And so he had his armor bearer running through. Now, those are curses, evil curses. God, curse spoken by a man of God as a prophecy, came to pass. Curse spoken by a father, curse spoken by one in authority, a priest, the employer, curse spoken by someone you wronged. Those are all in the Bible. Is there any defense against them? And, of course, they're the curses that come from breaking God's law. And all those curses were spoken and agreed to by your relatives. People of Judah stood on the hill and said, A.B., say amen, so be it to me. They did. It's in the Bible. And they're your kin folks because you were adopted by Jesus Christ with the tribe of Judah. It says in Isaiah, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in condemnation, you shall refute or refuse. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. There are lots of other curses I could go into. I just want to say, you don't have to accept the curse. When somebody says to you, you're going to die, you say, I refuse to accept that in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to die. Brother Derek Prince tells a story of ministering and a woman who had a spirit of divination that he prayed for to come out of witchcraft and so forth. And said she fell over in this spirit of, and looked up in the spirit of divination, spoke out of her and said, I see a vision, Brother Prince. I see your car going down the street. I see a car running a stoplight, and it's hitting your car and kills you. See you dead. And he stepped back and he said, I refuse to accept that in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not be in any accident. I am not going to be killed in an accident in the name of Jesus. Okay. You say, oh, goodness, oh, yeah. Oh, I can't get in the car. I mean, you've accepted a curse on your life. And the enemy is going to be looking for a way to manipulate circumstances to bring it to pass. So you don't accept evil things people speak over you. And you don't speak evil things over your children. You don't tell your children they're dumb. And you don't speak evil things over yourself. You don't make statements about yourself being dumb or yourself being ignorant or yourself being clumsy or yourself. Those are self-inflicted curses. They have power because they're spoken. The word, the spoken word is powerful. It takes me about 8 hours to teach all of this. So I'm not going to try to start. But I just want you to know, you need to put a guard on your tongue. Remember this, in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. That's what Proverbs says. In a multitude of sin. He said, be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. Praise God. So I'm going to stop here. I tell you that binding and loosening is something that you need to practice in your life and in the lives of your children and your family. You need to bind over you. You need to bind. And you ask God to show you the strong man coming against you. He'll show you. And you bind it. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the privilege of all the saints. It's to bind the enemy. It's the keys to the kingdom of God. And you bind them. And you loose yourself from their effects.
and you loose yourself from their power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And remember that when you leave him, don't do like Pharaoh. Say, well, I feel so much better now. I don't think I'm going to let y'all go. I want to keep that. I want to keep that habit. Yeah, I feel better now. I want to keep my cigarettes. I want deliverance. I want everything but cigarettes. I want to keep my cigarettes. I want deliverance, yeah, but I want to keep cruising the internet. Just see what kind of trash is on the internet, you know. I'm just looking to see what kind of filth they're putting on there now. I'm not really interested in it. I'm just going to read the horoscope because I'm not really interested. I don't believe it. I just like to see what it says. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But tell me this, man. What'd you think your wife would say if you said to her, honey, I was on my way home tonight. Yeah. And I stopped by the house of prostitution. I'd never been there before. I just wanted to see what it didn't mean anything to me. It didn't mean anything, you know. I just wanted to find out what it was like. You don't mind, do you? What do you think your wife's going to see you? That's how God feels about it. That's just how he feels. How you think your wife's going to feel? Just the way God feels. Mm-hmm. So I say to you, don't read the horoscopes. Don't look at the pornography. Don't watch television. Throw that thing out of your house. But filth and trash comes over. Nothing you can show, nothing you can believe. Read the Bible. You spend much time reading the Word, studying the Word, you do watching that boob tube. You might find that things get a little better for you. I don't own one. I have not had one in my house for 25 years. There's one in the doctor's lounge. Sometimes I try to find a John Wayne movie. It's hard to find John anymore. TNT sometimes has weekends when they got John on. Some of the other old westerns, you know. They don't have HBO or any of those other things. But it doesn't make a difference. You don't have to have HBO. I mean, you flip through, boy, you have to flip fast. Try to find John. You can't find John, and you can't find a good Western. I love to watch the scenery. It's beautiful, right? Beautiful Western scenery on the horse movies we had. She wore Yellow Ribbon and El Dorado and all those Westerns where they had all that beautiful scenery. I can quote all the words. I've seen them so many times. But I like to watch the scenery, and I don't have to. I just sit down and relax. I can sit down and relax and just watch it and just relax. And I used to rock. I tell you, get on that rock wall. I'll tell you, you ain't gonna think of anything. Your problems won't bother you at all anymore. All you worry about is how you gonna get off that rock wall. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up now. We're going to get our blood work circulating again, and then we're gonna pray and break curses. And ask God to fill us with his wisdom. Praise you and bless you and glorify. Y'all praise God a little bit. I mean, I'll stand there. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Come into his courts with thanksgiving and into his presence with praise. For God is good and gracious. For praise silences the voice of the accuser. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have perfected praise that you might silence the voice of the accuser and the enemy. Let the praises of God come out of your mouth, and thanksgiving brings deliverance. It brings health and healing with a grateful heart. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Say, dear Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, touch me. Make me into your image.
Make me into your image.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Of Nazareth.
Is the Son of God.
Died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead for my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. To make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I am a child of the living God. I am a member of the kingdom of heaven. I'm not of this world. I'm an ambassador to this world. And as an ambassador, I have a right and authority to call on the armed forces of the kingdom of God to defeat the enemy that would harass me. Lord Jesus, touch me. Heal me, Lord. Lord, I confess my sin to you. You know my sins. You know those things that bind me. Who harass me. Lord, I call upon you now. Set me free. I bind and break all the curses that have come down from the sins of my ancestors and my sin. I repent and turn away and break the curses in the name of Jesus. I loose myself from the power of the enemy under the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I break the curse of whoredom, of adultery, of incest, bestiality, illegitimacy, of the vagabond, of idolatry, and all other curses in the name of Jesus. I break any curses spoken by myself or anyone else over my family in the name of Jesus. The Word of God says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against me in condemnation, I refute and refuse. This is the privilege of all the saints. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, touch me. Heal me, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Okay. Praise God. Let's sit down now. All you spirits of rejection now, you're not reject. These are not rejected children. These are children of the living God. That's right. Canaanite spirits, we bind you now. You've got no right here. These children have been accepted in the Beloved. That's right. He says, whereby in Ephesians 1:6 says, whereby we have been accepted in the Beloved, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Rejection? They are accepted on the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got no right to them. I just bind you now and I command you to be gone, you Canaanite devil. And I bind the Hittites, spirits of fear, and the spirits of Ammonites, the spirits of pride. And I speak to all these devils in the name of Jesus. And I loosen the spirits of the hornets from heaven that will come and drive out the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the two kings of the Amorites. And I tell them to go now, the haughty devil and the proud devil, the stiff-necked devil and the stubborn devil. I bind you now. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Put the hornets from heaven to drive you out. All the fear spirits, I bind you and I command you to be gone. Fear of not being good enough. Self-hatred, fear of just not being pleasing, not going to make it. I bind all fear now. All spirits of fear, spiritual fear, come out in the name of Jesus. All spiritual fear, fear, spirit fear, in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All religious spirits of fear, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All false religious spirits, in the name of Jesus. All counterfeit spirits, I bind you and command you to leave in Jesus' name. I come against the spirits of stubbornness now, of stubborn pride, haughty pride, scorn of pride, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of deception and unteachability. All religious spirits of being of unteachable spirits, stubborn spirits. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Don't you tear people, you just come out. I come against the spirits of rebellion now. Rebellion and iniquity in the name of Jesus. Come against bitterness, anger, rage, and hostility in the name of Jesus. And I bind the Python spirit of divination in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of Leviathan in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. All Leviathan spirits, all Python spirits, come up out of people's backbones now. I send the hornets to drive you out, you Hittite devils, you Amorite devils. I bind you and I command you to come on out in the name of Jesus. I just break your power. I break your power and say, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. I come against all the spirits of uncleanliness now. All unclean spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of uncleanliness in the name of Jesus, I break your power and I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I just bind you and I break your power. You can't stay. You can't stay. You will come out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out, all you unclean devils. I bind you and I break your power. I speak to fear now. In the latter days, men's hearts will fail because of fear. I speak to the spirits of fear that cause depression and heart failure and high blood pressure and asthma. And I bind you and I break your power. You can't torment God's people anymore. Come on out. Come on out, all spirits of high blood pressure, asthma, bronchospastic reactive airway disease, bronchiectasis, all these spirits, I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power. All you spirits of sexual perversion, come out in the name of Jesus. Perverted.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.